This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
I don't know whether Brandon's has announced which games Sugano and Kramer are starting, so I won't do that. But our rotation is going to be those two, Charlie Morton and Eflin, who's starting opening day, and Kate Povich. So I'll leave the mystery of the games three and four starters for Brandon. I thought he did great. Really can't wait to see what he does in Major League Baseball. I thought he looked really good. His velocity seems like it's in a good spot. The way, the confidence with which he transitioned to Grapefruit League, you know, just being in the States. Look, it's definitely not good when we're breaking here without Gunner, but I think the position player core on this offense, you know, can pick up the slack and, you know, hopefully a very short IL stint.
Now that's Mike Elias, Orioles general manager, talking about the team, his confidence in it, minus, at least for the first few games, Gunnar Henderson, their all-star shortstop, MVP-level guy, rookie of the year 2 years ago. Jackson Holliday, it looks like, will be the starting shortstop tomorrow, we think, against the Blue Jays and Jose Berríos. But we talk about this, like the move of Holliday to short, and even Elias himself said, hopefully this doesn't stunt his growth at second base. And this is where I'm going, and I could be completely wrong. I think the reason he's playing shortstop is because they expect Gunner to be out longer than anticipated.
No, I think that's a pretty good thought, Bob.
And maybe Mateo's not going to be ready. I mean, the Orioles are in Toronto today. Mateo's still in Florida. They have till noon tomorrow to set their 26-man. So, if it was going to be a short-term absence, again, could be 100% incorrect with this assessment. If you want Jackson Holliday to become the best second baseman he could possibly be defensively, the offense will take care of itself, as we saw in spring training. I mean, the wheels are there. He was getting on base. The power certainly is going to be part of it. He might not have gunner power, but he can hit you 20 to 25 bombs. He can be a 20-20 guy. Let's put it that way. The offense will take care of everything. But if it was going to be a short-term absence, and Nolan, you can get in on this too, you can get by with Westberg, Arias, Levan Soto for a week, a series or two. Why this dramatic change? When you yourself, Mike Elias, I don't want to read between lines. It was a direct quote from you. Hopefully this doesn't stunt his growth. But if there were no long-term concerns about Gunnar, why'd you even move him in the first place? I mean, it's good to have positional versatility. For instance, Ramon Urias can literally play all five infield spots. Mateo can play infield, outfield. Gunnar can play three infield positions. I'm sure if you put a gun to his head, he can learn how to play first base pretty well. But why? So I don't want to be pessimistic right out of the gate. I think Holiday's at short and has been for a minute because Gunnar's going to be out longer than we think and Mateo's not going to be ready. Or they're just worried that, hey, we can put him in short, but it's going to be 0 for 4. We're getting nothing there offensively out of that spot.
Well, because now Westberg's going to play second, right? And Urias is playing third.
Right, where he won a gold glove 2 years ago. Let's not forget that.
No, I got no problem
with it. Or 3 years ago, I guess.
Right. But instead of just moving one guy, Bob, you're moving three.
Yeah, and Westberg drafted as a shortstop, as was Holiday.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Nolan? That's my conspiracy theory of the early morning here, Woman Crush Wednesday. We alluded to it yesterday a little bit. Holiday's at short because they think Gunnar might be out longer than they anticipate.
That's the fear. It's still a little... I just think it's interesting, the decision.
Is it Zapruder film level conspiracy or no?
Well, no. And I mean, the more you think about it, is it really the end of the world here? I mean, you know, it's not... Now, if he goes out there and has three errors, then... We have a whole different conversation on Friday morning, but I don't think it's a huge deal. I thought it was surprising just because, like Vinny said, plug and play one guy instead of rearranging your entire infield. The only thing I could think of is maybe they see that entire sum of the entire defensive picture there as being greater than, say, if you put Urias at short. Like, let's say, all right, Urias can play all the infield positions, but is shortstop his weakest of all those positions?
Fair point. And Westberg, same thing.
Right.
But Westberg seems more adept at third than second. Mm-hmm. But Urias won a gold glove at third. And again, as we said yesterday, they're there every day. We've seen them on television for the last 6 weeks. And in the big picture, too, I don't want to make this a bigger deal than it is. Still think it's going to be a nothing burger when it's all said and done. Now, Grayson Rodriguez, I think that's a major concern moving forward. But we'll see how Jackson Holiday adapts to the position or readapts to it. But when Gunnar comes back, how he adjusts again to second base. I'm actually more intrigued by what he brings to the equation offensively, for real, after a good spring. Now the games count because Jose Berrios is a pretty good pitcher, and they're going to have a pretty solid rotation coming their way into Boston as well. We'll see how Jackson, if he starts 0 for 8, then all of a sudden it's become, oh my God, I can't hit this.
With a bunch of strikeouts.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But still, I think Gunner's going to miss more than like 7 days. Because he can come back the fourth. Or third.
Next Thursday. Yeah, next Thursday he can come back. But I'm with you, Bob. I don't get it. And then the other, like you just mentioned, the Gibson signing was strange when they did it.
And Hyde said yesterday they think he'll be ready May 1st. So Gibson, who pitches first? There's a question for you.
Right.
Grayson or Gibson?
Probably Gibson.
Yeah, right. But if it gets to who's pitching first, Grayson or Bradish, then we've got a major problem.
I think they were going to need him anyway, and that's kind of how I viewed it. And, you know, I was one of the people that was calling for, you know, whether it was him or another starter of his caliber, veteran, who you could get on the cheap, under $10 million. You just, after what you went through last year, you know how quickly things can unravel. Bring in a Kyle Gibson, you're paying him $5 million. If they don't use him at all this year, which is very unlikely, but you'll say, okay, that's fine. That means we're healthy. I got no problems with that. You know, did you waste $5 million? I don't think so. But give yourself that insurance policy because, let's be honest, Grayson Rodriguez or someone else, he's going to be needed for injury purposes.
Yeah, every team, not just the Orioles, will deal with issues in the rotation. Just look at what the Yankees are dealing with as they start tomorrow against the old Brujas there up in the Bronx. But we'll do our Orioles predictions for the offense. We'll do that actually starting next segment. Maryland tomorrow, I told you, it's a major sports day tomorrow. Baltimore sports fans, you got the Orioles open the season against the Blue Jays. Terps tomorrow against Florida, Sweet 16. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTypes.com. We'll preview it with him. And also talk about Kevin Willard, who won on another radio station. Actually blew up one of them.
Yeah,
on another one. Didn't come on this one for some reason, but it is what it is. Maybe he didn't like the way we were asking questions or whatever it says. But he did not commit to staying full time. And he did say, I'm sticking around. I'm staying for now, is basically what he's saying.
Right.
Unless he doesn't get what he wants. And he said the New Jersey in him's coming out. So he's trying to, you know, pull the tough guy, outspoken, unfiltered thing. And that's great. And it's all well and good. And if he wins tomorrow night, then, you know, he's got even more leverage than he already has. And he does have leverage because you've got a football program that's shaky
at best.
Yeah. And then you're already talking, you're broke, and he's already said he wants more money devoted to the basketball program. He wants to change things, reimagine the Xfinity Center. I mean, has he earned that kind of clout? I mean, Gary Williams put in 20 years of sweat equity, literally. Let's not forget he played for Maryland, too. Lefty, the same thing. I mean, there's got to be some sort of level of accomplishment, but two tournaments in 3 years, first Sweet 16 and 9. Finished, what, top four in your league when you were picked 10th preseason? I mean, there's 16 teams left out of 3 bazillion, and they're one of them.
Well, as long as Villanova is still sitting out there, Bob, you got to be nervous.
Oh, no doubt about it. And if they don't, everyone, hey, Richard Pitino went to Xavier, quickly replacing Sean Miller, who went to Texas. So the chips are falling. Villanova's chip is still in its Pringles can.
Yes, it is.
And we'll see. But we'll talk about that and the game, of course. If Maryland wins, it'll be their first Elite Eight since 2002. Ravens signed Awuzier yesterday, the DB, formerly of Dallas, Cincy, and just recently Tennessee. Depth piece. You know, this guy had a pick in a Super Bowl, was a starting cornerback for a team that won the AFC Championship. So we'll talk more about that. Russell Wilson's going to the Giants. Stephon Diggs got a 3-year deal.
Big money.
With New England. We'll get into that as owners' meetings come up this weekend. Anything else you want to talk about, it's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We'll do our Orioles predictions next. Offensively, like, you know, who's going to lead the team in average and ribbies and home runs and OPS, et cetera, et cetera. You want to play that game, we're doing it with you here on The Fan. Florida, that's coming up tomorrow night, 7:39, expected tip. You can hear that game, 105.7 The Fan. Winner gets to the Elite Eight. Terps haven't been there in 23 years. So let's see if they can return to that one. And then Vinny's got a draft profile this hour, too. Going to Ole Miss, staying on the defensive line. A guy that is highly regarded. And again, might not be around when the Ravens are picking at 27. But anything you want to get into, we got you. Let's get out to the phones real quick. Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great signing by the Ravens. Awuzie. He's still 6 foot. He still runs 4.4. Just needs to be coached up, put in the right system. So it's a typical Ravens signing. As far as the Orioles, it's short. I think Urias lacks the wheels to play short. So I'm guessing they're putting Holiday at short, give him a little confidence boost. And hopefully the stick will follow. But everybody in Baltimore is like, why are you moving him there? But, I mean, obviously Hyde and Elias move better than we do. But I'm calling because of the Willard deal. And, listen, I appreciate Quick Draw for putting me on because, he asked you what you're going to talk about. I'm like, man, I'm going to talk about his resume. And I know you guys have the contract with Maryland. You talk to Willard every week, and whether he
not calls anymore, we don't.
Damon's gone, Willard's gone.
You don't talk to anybody anymore. Hey, where's Test Studio when you need?
No, him and Evans do not address you by name, and it's amazing because both of you two characters have accomplished more than he ever has, and that's what I want to talk about. He played at University of Pittsburgh, 1996, scored 2 points a game, got his degree. 2 points a game, got his degree. The next year, he's a Boston Celtic assistant coach. So his old man, who was a great coach, hooked him up with Pitino. So he works with Pitino for the years at Celtic, goes to Louisville with Pitino, works there. Gets a job at Iona, has a 500 record in conference, no NCAA trips, gets a job at Seton Hall. Doesn't make any sense, right? Seton Hall, Big East, under 500 record in conference, has one NCAA wins in all those years, and somehow gets the Maryland job. Maryland, okay, did okay. non-tournament the second year. Queens carried him. He did some good additions. Rice, great addition. Gillespie, Queen.
Miguel.
Coaches. Right. No, Miguel's a rock-solid addition. And Willard coaches team defense as well as anyone. But for goodness sakes, you're telling me his resume is not better than Turgeon. And now the guy, the first sniff he gets, and he's walking us all over the place. This is ridiculous that he is pushing Maryland for more money. I mean, we all want more money for the basketball team, but how he's trying to renegotiate now and bad-mouthing Maryland's president and AD is beyond me. Bob, you're not – I know you talk to him every week, so you've got a relationship with
him. Not anymore.
I'm not arguing that you're there, Bob. But I'm in all sincerity, man. His resume
I think he's equal. Got leverage at the yin-yang right now. I mean, Turgeon was either – he either quit or was forced out before the calendar year flipped his last season as the coach. And then Willard, and by the way, I'm not saying Kevin Willard's John Wooden. Let's not get this twisted by any stretch of the imagination. But it took Turgeon how many years to even get to the NCAA tournament? And Kevin Willard's, Turgeon's coaching where nowadays? Have you noticed what's happened to Seton Hall since he's left that program? They bottomed out with Shaheen Holloway, who was the hero of the tournament 2 years ago. So Willard, he's got game, and why not take advantage of the leverage that you have right now? Mike Loxley's getting contract extensions, and we love Mike Loxley. Let's not get this out of control. But they're going to like these mid-level bowl games. He's 2 wins away from the Final Four. Take advantage of it. Why not? I don't begrudge that whatsoever. Pretty cool if he would have called in here yesterday. But, you know, remember, his best player said, I'm from Baltimore. That's why. And he goes on D.C. stations. And we're the flagship. Almost got me cussing here, Pete.
Good. That's what I want to hear. We need that kind of intensity.
Yeah.
Listen, Bob, this is where you and I may disagree. That's fine. You put Jimmy Passos in that position. You and Vinny are the assistant coaches. You're telling me that's not a top 25 team?
I don't want that smoke at all. No. I mean, do you think Jimmy Patsos at this stage could stay in the coach's box? Oh, my God. He could get that NIL percolating, though. You bet your ass on that.
I'm saying, Maryland, you get a good coach, an above-average coach. And we both know Patsos is. Whether he could stay in the box or not is a valid argument, something I didn't think about. But I'm dead serious, man. Look at, and Vinny, you know this. Look at Iowa State, man. You get a great coach. Look at Louisville. My God.
Well, you're Michigan this year. APT, we got to run, man. But a point is well taken. Yeah. But, you know, this is a Maryland team that kind of rock bottomed with Turge and Danny Manning. Nolan, get in here. You're a diehard fan. Queens moment was your kind of Maryland moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Willard is already, at the very least, matched Turgeon's resume, and he's done it in 3 years.
Yeah, Turge went to a Sweet 16 with Wichita State back in 06 when they made kind of the run. I think it was down in D.C., as a matter of fact, but Turgeon was from the Larry Brown coaching tree. Patino is the mentor to Kevin Willard.
I think Willard deserves a lot of credit. I mean, look at last year. All right, what do I need to do to fix my team? And he went and changed the whole team around and fixed it.
Well, remember what was his line last year?
What, shooters?
He was setting up the offensive sets for success. He said, we've run one of the most efficient offenses in basketball. We just can't make shots.
Right.
So he goes out and gets shooters. Hey, Selden Miguel, when he started at Kansas State, he was shooting like 22% from three, but evolved into a, what's he, 42 now? Jacoby Gillespie, Belmont. No, it's not a race. It's a school. Maryland actually played them in a tournament when Turgeon was the coach a couple years ago. But Jacoby Gillespie has come in here and made third team all conference. He's going to – now, that's a dude not want to get too far off topic. He's got his hands full Thursday night with the guard for the first team All-American for Florida. If Gillespie comes out there, I'm nervous. It's not going to go well. He needs to come out manning up a little bit there. But go ahead.
Sorry. I guess just to sum it up.
Patsos.
Right. That's fine. I got a taste of that last Friday. Yeah. I'm well prepared. I'm seasoned. But no, we love Jimmy.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The Willard stuff. I'm not going to get on his case. I mean, look, I'm a little worried about everything that's going on right now. The fact that the Villanova job is still open, it's uneasy. And I think the comments he made yesterday, some people were satisfied by that, but his direct quote was, as of now, I'm staying. As of now was the qualifier. What, right. How can you leave that comment with any sort of glaring positivity? I left that with even more uncertainty.
No yeah. doubt.
And let me, to put it in that perspective, as of now, I plan on working tomorrow. If I win Powerball tonight, I ain't working tomorrow.
So is that Villanova?
More than Villanova. It'll be like Villa Key West. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan Draft Profile. Coming up next, going to Ole Miss. Talk about one of the top defensive tackles in this year's class. And then Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Get his thoughts on Willard staying, going. And most importantly, at least for tomorrow, next 24 hours, how Maryland matches up with Florida.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney, Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Gotta hurry, and you can't get sacked, and that's what's gonna happen. Half is over. Kenneth Grant. There went that opportunity.
Draft, less than a month away. First round, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's Draft Profiles, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, as we continue those for the next few weeks. Today, we started off going to Ann Arbor, Michigan for the second consecutive day. And Vinny, for the second consecutive day, we're staying on the D-line here.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, Michigan having a good defense the last couple years. I mean, you're talking, you know, about Mason Graham, who's going in the top 10 picks. You know, we got Kenneth Grant, who's going in the first round. You've got corner Will Johnson, who's supposedly a top 10 pick. I mean, so Michigan's defense had some talent. Now, Kenneth Grant, Michigan, 6'4", 331 pounds, junior. Jersey number 78, 33.5-inch arms, 10 1/8 hands. 22 reps, 2 1/4. Did nothing at the combine. 2022, his freshman year, played in all 14 games as a reserve, had 8 tackles. 2023, second team all-conference, played in all 15 games, 5 starts, 29 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. This past year, third team All-American, second team All-Big Ten, started 12 games, 32 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 5 PBUs. He can deflect that ball. Strengths, size, he can find a ball, uses his hands to shed, show some power on the bull rush to collapse the pocket. He has quick hands, arm over and burst to the ball, slides well down the line of scrimmage. He bats a lot of balls, keeps feet moving. He'll chase, he can punch, lock out, shed, and tackle. Good athlete for his size, strong, good fundamentally. He runs well for size, quick, strong hands, plays on all 3 downs. Has shown excellent first step, reads blocking schemes quickly. He's got the school record for PBUs. So, he, like I said, he deflects a ton of balls. He can play nose tackle, 3 technique, 5 technique, so he can play all over the field. He can stack double teams when he stays low. Now, weakness, he's late off the snap, son. Who did we say about that? Travis Jones was the same way when he was at UConn. Must stay square versus run. Cannot get turned. You get turned, you open up your gap. Needs more pass rush moves. Must stay low, getting off blocks on time. He'll allow blockers in the body. Needs more consistency with rushing the passer. Weight fluctuates. How about this, Bob? Between 339 and 360. Need to keep him light.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's like Michael Pierce. You know, I mean, so he gets up to 360. That consistency goes down. You start to get winded. You know, you don't chase as well. You're at 340. You're a different ball player. So that 20 pounds makes a huge difference. So in summary, Kenneth was a little inconsistent this year. He has a high ceiling. Just keep the weight down and pad level down consistently. What happens with big people is when they start to get tired, they get higher. And when they get high, they get driven. And that's what happened to him. And that's why, you know, one of the biggest things, and, you know, maybe by the time it's all said and done, there's some type of weight clause you know, in that contract to keep him in shape, or your strength coach has got to be on him all the time. He can be a good sack guy. He has the athletic ability. He is a better Travis Jones potentially. He has big time talent. You know, and Travis Jones was a third round pick, and I thought he had, you know, because he showed some pass rush. This kid's a better athlete, you know, and 331 pounds also, or 339 to 360. And I think that's similar to Travis Jones. When those big guys get heavy, motor slows down, conditioning, pad level raises. He's got pass rush ability, and with his size and athletic ability and stuff, he can be a consistent starter for you. Just keep his weight where it's supposed to be. And I think that was probably a little part of the problem this year. The weight fluctuated. You know, and the thing about it too is when you're playing in the north, you tend to, as it gets colder, you get heavier. Because, you know, you're not when you're practicing, you're in sweatshirts and everything else, and you're not working. When you're down south still, it's still 80 degrees, and you're still sweating your butt off. So, he is a talented player. He is a very good football player. Just needs to make sure that he keeps his weight down.
It's video at 81057, the fan, Kenneth Grant, according to Mel Kiper Jr., third-rated defensive tackle in this year's draft behind Mason Graham, his teammate at Michigan, who we talked about yesterday, and Walter Nolan, who we'll talk about later in the show from Ole Miss. Mel's latest mock draft about a week ago has Grant going number 30 overall to the Buffalo Bills.
And I think for Buffalo, Bob, I think it'd be an awesome pick, because what did we keep saying about Buffalo the two times that we prepped for them was they're small in the D-line and they have a hard time stopping a run. And they're adding, you know, a 331-pound run-stopping guy that also has pass rush ability. I think that would be a very good move for them if he's there.
We'll come back, talk Maryland, Florida, and Kevin Willard with Dave LaMonaco from TerrapinTimes.com. Got news from the Nest coming up top of the hour, whip around 11:15. Ovi's creeping closer. Hey, look, let's not get lose in the sight of the Ovi 6 behind Wayne Gretzky talk. The Caps are the best team in hockey, and Stanley Cup is probably a realistic goal for them, no doubt about it. Whip around 11:15, and then we got Christopher Smith, covers the Red Sox for MassLive.com. Keith Law, as a matter of fact, on The Athletic today, picked Boston to win the division. Kevin Willard, I don't know if you've heard, everyone, he's been in the news lately from TerrapinTimes.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Dave LaMonaco. Dave, good morning. What is up?
Hey, good morning, Bob. I like the Tina Turner. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah, well, is Kevin Willard a private dancer right now, dancing for money, doing whatever it is he's got to do? I mean, he's been pretty outspoken. He's actually been one of the stories of the tournament that's not on the court related. Went on in D.C. with 980, the team told Kevin Sheehan he's here for now. Kind of lambasted at old Damon Evans as he was going out the door. So, Dave, what's your intel saying with Kevin Willard? I mean, Villanova still has a pretty open vacancy there. He's linked pretty heavily to that job. What's Dave LaMonaco thinking today on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
Well, Rick Pitino was going to get that. Looks like he went to Xavier. I'm not sure if that was a leverage deal or not, but yeah, the Villanova job is still open. They obviously still want Kevin Willard. That's a guy that they're pursuing heavily. But you know, the ball's in Maryland's court, because from all we've heard is that that Willard does want to be in College Park, and if Maryland pays him what he wants to be paid and gives him the resources that he detailed in the media in the NCAA tournament, if they give him that, then he will be here. That's what we've heard. So it's in Maryland's court. If they want to comply and they can pay him, he's making what, like 3.9 or something like that. The football coach is making 6.5. You know,
right.
Take that for what it is. So, you know, we'll see what they do.
Now, is he coming off? I mean, he admitted that he's an a-hole and that the jersey in him is coming out and all of this. How is this making him look from a public perspective? Like, if he leaves, Maryland fans are going to hate him for the rest of his coaching career, for sure, I would assume. But if he sticks around, has this done any damage to him from a PR perspective? And, you know, we've had him on all season long, except for now, that you know, this is a guy that isn't usually media friendly, if you know where I'm coming from.
No. But it really doesn't bother me personally. And some of the people, the Terps fans, I don't know everybody, obviously, but the ones that I've talked to, they kind of get it. They're more blaming Maryland than anything else. The leadership, negotiating with the guy that had his foot out the door to go into the Southern Methodist. He was just being honest. He was asked the question and he answered it honestly. I mean, it's better than some of the coaches that, they just give you the old runaround and then 2 days later they end up leaving. I mean, he put it right out there. And I think a lot of people appreciate his honesty, including the boosters at Maryland. And, it's up to Maryland. I think Willard is fine. I mean, I've always appreciated his honesty and he's right. He said it was a waste of his time and it really was. Right. He didn't have to be sitting there talking, so I think that most people would appreciate that.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, talking Maryland, Kevin Willard. So we'll see how this drama unfolds. I guess we'll get some sort of resolution by the end of the weekend, one way or another. But Florida coming up tomorrow night, number one seed, 31-4, very, very balanced team. They can shoot threes. They've got an All-American guard. Their guards are playing like Maryland's guards played for most of the season. They have three big guys that can match up with the Terps down in the paint. So spread 6.5, not from a gambling angle, but it's not an impossible task. But is Florida better than any team they played this season?
Yeah, this is like when I was researching and writing about them, and then watching some of them in the tournament. They're kind of like they're almost like a Michigan State but on steroids type of deal. So they're Michigan State with better shooters. So in other words, they're going to go. They don't go 10 deep, but they go 9. They do pretty much everything well. Their defense is ranked top 11. Their offense is top 2. That's per KenPom. In efficiency ratings, like you said, they got guys that can shoot. They got guys that can defend. There is UConn in the second round. They did expose some things, that maybe the SEC didn't expose when they were playing there. Their defense can lapse a little bit. So that's one thing. So Maryland has to be able to hit shots, maybe come off of screens and things like that. They got to be able to knock down their threes. And they don't hit free throws very well. So if you can send them to the line and then hope that they miss, they only shot 60% from the line against Connecticut, and they haven't been very good this year. So that's two areas that maybe Maryland can expose. Now, Maryland's got to be on top of their game otherwise. They got to play better defense than they did against Colorado State. They have to rebound better. Derek Queen has to, he earned all the headlines, and rightfully so, for sending him here, but he didn't play any defense in that Colorado State game. If they do that, they've got a shot. But it's a very tall task. They've got to be on top of their game.
And you talk about the guard play, and Condon's going to be a tough matchup for Queen, Reese, certainly, and everything that goes along with that. But Clayton versus Gillespie, is there a concern that the Maryland guards, Rice got off to the cold start shooting, then heated up at the right time to get Maryland back in the game? Gillespie, you look at the stat line, Dave. One bad, but watching the game, it's like this guy is he up to the challenge of a first team All American and Walter Clayton Jr. here, who can do pretty much everything well.
Right. And remember, Clayton didn't even play that well until the last couple minutes of the game, and then he just went off. It's kind of Clayton's probably a little bit better. They both have their own inconsistencies. Sometimes Clayton gets, we criticize Gillespie a little bit because we see him every game. We see the lapses on defense sometimes. But when you look at it as a whole, he's had a great season. He's a really good player. And the same thing with Clayton in a way. If Florida fans, you watch him every game and then you start to nitpick some of the things that, he tries to force the issue too much on offense. He takes some shots that he shouldn't take. So, there's some things that Clayton doesn't always do well either. So it's going to be about who steps up on Thursday. I know that's sort of a cop-out answer, but Clayton's probably, he's got, you hate to say he has a better supporting cast because Maryland's pretty darn good, but there's two other guards that he's got with him that can help him out. They screen so well for him. So he can get off the pick and roll, and then he's really good at dishing. That's the one thing. Gillespie sometimes his passes aren't on point, throws the ball away. It's a tall task. Gillespie's really got to step up and play defense. He's done it this year. He has played good defense this year at times, but he's got to play better defense than he did against Colorado State, I'll tell you that.
So, Dave, how important is it for the Terps to start fast?
Oh, incredibly important. If they get behind in this game, Florida could run by, because like I said, this is like a Michigan State on steroids. This team loves to run. If they get ahead, they're just going to press the hell out of Maryland, and then they're going to run up and down the court, and they can score in transition as well. Oh, that's another thing. Maryland's got to play better transition defense, because remember, they struggled against Michigan and Michigan State getting back in transition. Florida loves to run in transition, so you've got to get back. And if they don't, Florida's going to be up by 20 points before you know it. So they got to, you know, somebody like Rice or maybe Miguel, you got to hit a three early, because those threes, they're going to be able to get some threes because Florida, they're going to clog the middle, which is what they want to do, especially, you know, they've scouted in Maryland. They don't know what to do. They're going to take away Reese and Queen down low. And in order to open that up, Maryland's going to have to hit some shots to open the middle up. And so those will probably be open for a little bit. Miguel, Rice, maybe Gillespie have got to knock down those shots to open things up, and it's got to be early.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Yes or no question, Dave, as we hit the top of the hour, will Maryland be playing on Saturday?
Don't ask.
Yes or no?
I would love them to be playing on Saturday. This is a tall task. This is the best team they've played by far this year. Can I say they'll cover the spread?
All right. I plan on taking them covering the spread, so we'll get a consolation prize. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game on Thursday, and hopefully talking about some games next week still to be played.
Gotcha. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Dave LaMonaco. It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan will come back. News from the Nest. Talk about the Ravens. They added depth to the secondary as it was. It actually kind of went down as we were getting off the air yesterday. Talk a little bit more about that. More needs as the draft is less than a month away. Whip around 11:15. And we'll talk about the Red Sox. Christopher Smith, MassLive.com, talks about Boston. Keith Law, The Athletic, picks Boston to win the division. Is that laughable or what? Or maybe not.